players, the personalities who come from around the world to play professional soccer in the United States.
Go, go, USA! Oh, it's incredible!
In a world where some call it football, football, or soccer, they dare to call it foosball. One thinks New York is blue, the other thinks New York is red. Soccer in America, from a German perspective. Let them put some sauerkraut on your hot dog and join them for the Schnitzel Boys USA Hour.
Ah, good evening, good evening. Look at that. We're here at the appointed hour. Sounding good, hopefully.
Yahoo!
Stefan is fully engaged.
I was unengaged during the last hour, so I'm extra engaged to make up for it. Yahoo, baby! Woo! Ric Flair, I can't do the Ric Flair thing. Woo! I can't go that high anymore. I don't even have a falsetto these days. I'm a deep-voiced guy.
What happened?
Oh, I grew up. When I was young, I had the voice of an angel. But then I grew up. Now I sound big and baritone-y. There's a guy on TikTok, I'm on TikTok all the time, who has the most bassiest, bassy voice I've ever heard, and he just sings all these beautiful old pirate shanties and stuff.
Mm.
Definitely, I recommend looking him up. I think his name is That Boy Bass Guy.
We have fully lost you to the TikTok universe. It's a completely different world.
A friend of mine, and a friend of yours as well. I believe this man and you did improv together a long time ago.
Oh, the machine.
The machine, right. He got famous doing Formula One TikToks. And he in January alone, he was sent to Mexico, he was sent to England, and he was sent to Indianapolis to host all these different F1 related events. And he's like the F1 TikTok guy. He has a friend of ours, and he's challenged me to do the same with soccer. He's like, get on TikTok. So every day, I have missed once or twice, but I get on it every day now. Every day, I try to put a little bit of soccer content out on TikTok to get that going. And it's been a lot of fun because it's just like, you know, I do this for fun for an hour. It's like every day I do the same fun for 60 seconds.
Excellent.
You know, easy peasy. If you ever want on, let me know. Hop on. I do share us sometimes. I probably should share it more. I think the last thing I shared was a little clip from last week of, what was the clip? Oh, about how the investors pulled out because it happened the day after we announced it.
That's right.
Or whatever, yeah.
Well, Luis Suarez listens to our podcast. It turns out that was unexpected.
Right? Give me a little more context.
He listened. Luis Suarez listened to us last week and heard me say how he is washed and how his legs don't work and how he can't really hack it anymore. And why is he even playing? Because he's so clearly injured. And he listened to this and was like, oh, really? Let me show you.
He said two things. If you and I are ever in the same room, I'm going to bite the shit out of you. First, I'm going to bite your neck like a vampire.
I could take Luis Suarez, man. I'm like twice his weight.
Well, I don't know about that. You can't take his teeth. Which, again, I'm dying for Chiellini to have extended one season. Come on. Get the Chiellini-Suarez 2014 biter rematch. That's what MLS is for. It's like the retirement home of old stars.
Retirement. Yeah. Things you've seen already.
Yeah. But no, Suarez, yeah, he got a brace. Inter Miami destroyed Orlando.
And an
5
assist. Almost a hat trick.
Yeah.
And the smart, you know, the MLS hipster, Twitter, Illuminati were saying how Orlando is going to expose. This was the word on the street. Orlando is going to expose this Miami team. There are some weaknesses. And Orlando, you know,
where's your source?
The smart money on Twitter was on Orlando. What?
And by Twitter, do you mean Matt Doyle and the gang?
I mean, just those types. The
tack manager, because he's very different. He's the opposite type.
I mean, I'm just, you know, I scroll and scroll, and then I sort of synthesize my opinion. I can't track it back. I can't tell you. I can't give you quotes and But that was my impression. It was, and perhaps I felt the same way. I've been thinking this Miami team is weak, and Suarez looks like he's hurt.
Taylor Twellman ate his words on his podcast. He essentially said the same thing, but on a much larger scale, and he had to eat his words over the weekend.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Miami. I mean, it was a comprehensive destruction, and Luis Suarez was all over it.
Yeah, Inter Miami looks real. Really weird Inter Miami news, though. I should look at the update. Did you see this? Oh,
Sergio Roberto might be coming.
What? That's news to me. I just know they're getting rid of DeAndre Yedlin.
Well, in order to make room for some one of Messi's friends, presumably, no?
They got rid of DeAndre. Who's Sergio Roberto? Is it right back?
I mean, I don't know. That was just a name somebody threw out on Twitter. Oh. That was Matt Doyle, actually. I do remember.
Well, Inter Miami, who are real deal, and there was a photo, right, of DeAndre Yedlin leading the team speech and everyone listening. It's hilarious because they don't speak English. He doesn't speak Spanish. But apparently they're getting rid of him. And it's just a feel for DeAndre
Yedlin. He's going to Cincinnati.
Good for Cincinnati. I'll take. He's a great player. And DeAndre Yedlin's an excellent player. Red Bulls would gladly grab him.
Good. So Cincinnati. I would go with good player. I wouldn't go with excellent player.
He's not as good as Leo Messi, obviously.
Nobody is.
But he's a good, solid American.
He's not as good as Anton Tinnerholm.
Who is DeAndre Yedlin or Leo Messi?
No. DeAndre Yedlin.
Well, I would take Yedlin over Tinnerholm 10 times out of 10.
Okay.
But that's just me.
You're wrong about that, but okay.
I respect American talent. Let's just put it that way.
All right.
But anywho, with that being said, Inter Miami is a freight train, right?
Got nothing against Yedlin. Okay.
The only thing we're hoping for is injuries catch these 35-year-old players at some point.
I mean, I wouldn't even say that I'm like rooting against them. I just want them to earn it. Certainly in this game, they were good.
They are doing well against Orlando. Yeah.
I hated this. I hated the first two games because RSL was just toothless and the Galaxy were unlucky combined with poor refereeing.
Or are the Galaxy also the real deal this year? And that was just
that winger. What is his name?
Gabriel Peck, dude. He's real deal.
No, the other one.
Stansils. What's his name?
Yeah, he's looking very good. I mean, both of them look good.
Yeah, two good pickups.
Two very good pickups and actual wingers who, you know, play on the wing and draw defenders and then open things up in the middle. It's a huge concept. Somebody should...
Paintsil. He's a Ghanaian forward.
Yeah.
They got him from Genk in Belgium. He's 26. He's not a spring chicken. He's in his prime. A good obscure pickup. They got rid of Chicharito. Carlos Vela is still floating around. Rumors were he's about to sign with San Jose, but that cooled off. He's going to sign with Galaxy at one point.
Amazing.
So we'll see where he ends up.
But Pinza, he looks good. It doesn't seem like he's a great finisher necessarily, but he did score a goal. And Galaxy could be improved. You were distracted, but I was saying how I was transitioning into my team because we have all the wingers, but they don't play on the wing.
I have a quiz for you, Bjorn, related to your team. So we can start this NYCFC segment. I have the perfect new coach for you. NYCFC. All right, I'm going to give you a little quiz, and let's see if you can tell. I'm just going to give you not a quiz. I'm going to give you a summary of this guy. And you tell me who this is. I recently Googled him. I thought he was available. He's not really available at the moment, but that can change maybe over the summer. Anywho, this man used to be on the coaching staff of Manchester City. So that's one, right? That's important.
Mm-hmm.
He's a New Yorker. He used to be a construction worker in New York City. He built buildings. He coached the Staten Island Vipers. He's a New York City boy in his heart. However, he is foreign. And he has worked coaching in Europe, South America, and in North America. He has led my team. This is probably the fourth, the biggest clue. He knows foreign systems. He knows English systems very well, as he got his graduate degree in England. And he shadowed, in addition to Man City, he shadowed Liverpool for many years. He has titles in South America. And he led the New York Red Bulls into their only MLS Cup appearance, finalist appearance. So he is a former New York Red Bulls coach. Maybe that's points against. But this man exists. He's around. And I think he would be the perfect New York City FC head coach. What do you think?
Who is it? Hans Bakke?
No. A man who was a coach for Man City. He's a New Yorker at heart with foreign experience, so much so that he spent the 80s and 90s working as a construction worker in New York City. He's a New York City man.
Who is this man?
You don't know who this man is?
I don't think so.
In the chat, do we know who this man is? He coached Mexico to the greatest victory over Germany and eliminated Germany in the 2018 World Cup. If that's another clue. Remember when Mexico beat Germany?
Oh, right. What's this? Osorio.
Juan Carlos Osorio.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
In my mind, I thought he was just living in Queens, because I think his family lives in Queens.
Mm.
I thought he was just some dude farting around in Queens, because I know he coached Paraguay for a while, and that kind of thing. I Googled him. He's been coaching up a storm, and starting January, he's back in Brazil, and he's coaching Atlético Paranaense in Brazil, one of Brazil's biggest clubs. Okay. And he had success in Brazil when he coached Sao Paulo.
He was the coach for the Red Bulls when they... head coach, or he was an assistant?
No, he was the head coach. Juan Carlos Osorio was the head coach.
Before my time really following MLS. Wow.
He was a Chicago Fire head coach, and then he quit to become the New York head coach because he's a New Yorker. His family lives in New York.
Ah.
And then he even followed MLS's best center defender at the time was a Colombian named Wilman Conde,
who
he brought in from Colombia. And when the coach left, he told Chicago Fire he doesn't want to play for you. He wants to now leave and go to New York because he only plays for Osorio. And he came to New York, and he was one of our best defenders. He was one of my favorite players. So Juan Carlos Osorio, despite me having mixed feelings about him, because as a New York Red Bulls coach, that relationship ended very poorly. He guided us to our worst season ever in 2009. Mm-hmm. However, I think he would be the perfect replacement for Nick Cushing. That's my pitch. What do you think?
I would accept, I guess.
I mean, he's a perfect profile, right? He's a former Man City coach.
I think so, yeah. I think that sounds good. But he's got a job, so.
Yeah,
and Nick Cushing has not been fired.
Where's he on the Tuchel scale? Is he 50% fired, 75%? Where are we at with Nick Cushing?
I think... it depends on who you ask. If it's up to the fans, I think if there was a fan vote, he would not be here now. He would have been gone after last season.
And I'm on that vote, by the way. I think that's me. I think I'm on that vote as well.
I have really, you know, I don't like the knee jerk coach firing thing and blah blah blah. But I think this seems inevitable. These were two very, very listless performances. We have zero. Okay, let me ask you this. Just as a guess here. How many road games do you think NYCFC has won since the beginning of 2023?
Three? Oh, you only won one?
One home game. One road game. He has won under Nick Cushing's reign. We have won six road games total, and five of those were in the second half of 2022. So he's won one road game since Tati left, basically. So his record is not good. His record is now basically approaching Jason Christ territory, and Jason Christ had a good excuse. You know, it was like year number one.
Right.
Lampard was a messy first year, and not the Lionel kind.
Hmm.
So his record is not great, and the eye test was pretty devastating.
Yeah, you tell me, I couldn't watch over the weekend because it was the exact same time as the New York Rebels.
So but we
like,
have.
Can you look at a plan and be like, this is the idea, or is it just a bunch of like headless chickens running?
No, it's. I mean, there's a plan. It's like he likes the inverted. Well, we lined up with a pretty solid midfield. We played Sands, Parks, and Perea, who are basically three of the same players for two spots. But he, I guess, was worried about the. He wanted to be solid in the middle. And that didn't work. Jimmy Sands had probably his worst game, or one of his worst games as an NYCFC player. He got a red card to top it all off, but he was responsible for at least one of the two goals. Or it's just it's not flow. I mean, the setup is everything is going down the middle. All the wingers want to tuck in, and so the fullbacks are the only ones providing width, and the fullbacks are not great crossers, and they're not really even, they're probably our weakest links. Kevin O'Toole and Mitja Ilinic are probably the two. Mitja is very young. He's hopefully going to be good, but they're the weak links, and they have a lot of ground to cover in the system, and it's not really working. And then we had one shot on goal the entire time. Hannes Wolf got it. He wasn't in a good position, and then Roman Bürki came out and basically was right in front of him. Yeah, it's not looking good. The Santi Rodriguez, by the way, can I just take a turn here and rant again about the Apple TV commentators?
Yeah,
I think, I mean, we already heard, I mean, we were saying last week how the government, the state-sponsored commentators can't really talk about the referees. That was confirmed this week.
Yeah, with the Athletic article.
It was reported that there was an article that came out that the league sent memos to the commentators saying they should not belabor the
really?
The referees, what? And blah, blah. And it was so obvious that was not going to be a talking point. But the other thing that I think, this has not been reported, this is just my speculation. I think there is a list of players. These commentators are instructed to hype certain players. Like they get highlight, you know, sometimes they get, you know, there's always the players to watch segment before the game that they do where they're like, who are the good ones? And then I think there is some
instruction. Is it like that player in Dallas who's from the refugee camp? Is it something like they have to bring the story up every time?
Him every time. Diego Luna for RSL. Right. They keep telling us how great he is, and we're like, Yeah. For NYCFC, it's Santi Rodriguez. Santi Rodriguez is that guy.
Right.
I love Santi Rodriguez. Santi Rodriguez has not been playing well. Santi is trying to do too much. He's dribbling when he should be passing. He's like has put his he's hero balling. There's a lot of this, and I think this is a confidence thing. You know, you can see this when a team is struggling. People are like, okay, I'm gonna put this on my back, but it's not how it works. So there's a lot of like hero balling, speculative passing. You know, not doing the easy thing, but always looking for the hard thing. So, but meanwhile, Danny Higginbotham and Steve Cangelloso.
Steve Cangelloso, the great Steve
Cangelloso. I'm sorry.
One of the greatest play-by-plays.
Red Bulls guy. He sucks. He's a hockey guy.
He's amazing.
So.
he's a soccer guy through and through.
Fell over each other praising. What? What did I just miss?
No, I just said he's a soccer guy through and through. Good heart. I'm sure he also does hockey, whatever. But
when he was the one, when I saw the lineup of Apple TV. And he was among them. I was like, I already lost 20% of respect for whoever.
When will it be Joe Tolleson? When do you get your Joe Tolleson?
Joe Tolleson's back. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but when's NYCFC going to get?
I don't know. Is he going to be? Steve has done a lot of our games. I don't know. Anyway, the so they kept saying how everything goes through Santi Rodriguez, and he's the, and Steve Cangelloso even saying. And this, I laughed out loud. He said, I could watch him all day. And I was like,
yeah,
really?
That's a sales.
Steve Cangelloso?
That sounds
you could
like
watch Santi Rodriguez all day?
That sounds like the beginning of a multi-level marketing game, right? That's
you're
like
full,
a, oh, I could sit in that hot tub all day. Right.
100% full of shit, Steve Cangelloso. Red Bull commentator, you go out of your way, you want to watch Santi.
That's anyway. Apple. That's not Red Bull. That's Apple doing that. You pick Get your big corporations right.
That's what? Apple. No, but I'm saying he was a Red Bull guy for all these years. Apple, he's not sitting at home like watching highlights of Santi Rodriguez all day.
That's what I'm saying. Apple told him, hype this guy up.
And like, he went too far. He went too far. I was like, no, you overshot it. You're trying to be a good company guy.
Five this greatest no players longer, of all time.
It's not credible.
One, and Santi Rodriguez. Two, Pele. Three, Diego Maradona.
Only when NYCFC, when it's a different team, it's somebody else. Anyway, Santi wasn't good, even though Steve Cangelosi wants to watch him, wants to spend his day watching Santi put his head down, dribble into traffic, and turn over the ball. But,
let me ask you and this. And then Santi.
Sure.
Hero ball. I've seen this problem before. The United States of America has a problem with Pulisic and hero ball, right? Pulisic takes the ball and runs over and over again.
Santi is doing that for NYCFC right now.
Is this a symptom of bad coaching? Does that oversimplify it? Or is there something to it where it's like, well, the coach really should set the team up to move differently, right? Am I wrong?
Well, it's just hard. It's hard. I mean, that's why I resist these kinds of, you know, everything's the coach's fault, obviously, in the end, because it's also the easiest thing to change, right? Like, you can't, you know, we just got a bunch of new players. Santi's a DP. You're not gonna let everybody. I mean, I think, but I would say that the time that I've observed this, Nick Cushing does not seem to excel. I think Nick Cushing is a good tactician. I think he has in the past found solutions for problems, like when, you know, certain players weren't working out, and he does not seem to be a good developer of young players. I think he's lacking maybe a little.
That sounds like the kiss of death to me for a club like NYCFC.
Yeah.
Is that the whole point of NYCFC?
I would struggle. I think the only young players that have really improved under Cushing were ones that were really on the fringe, that are not like starter level. He's taken spot 25 of the roster and has elevated them to 17 or 18 or, you know, which that's good, but that's not the big money players. Talis Magno, Santi Rodriguez, who are also not the same age, actually. Santi's is like 3 years, 2 or 3 years older. So that's a big difference, but, they have not improved under his reign, and Santi got taken off the field. Santi was responsible. If Jimmy Sands was responsible for St. Louis goal number one, Santi was responsible for goal number two, and he got taken off, and he like had a bit of an outburst on the bench. He was frustrated to come off, and
I love to see that. I want to see that. I love that. When Luis Suarez came off the field, we saw a little of him getting a little pissy. I love it.
Anyway, it's not working, and this home opener is big on Saturday. We're playing Portland. Portland's been looking pretty good, I think, from afar.
Did they have a 5-0 over the weekend?
This is gonna be a real test.
Also,
Portland,
rematch, right?
2-2. Portland won their first game pretty convincingly, but then tied DC 2-2. So who knows?
Troy Lessain.
It's not. I mean, I don't know if it's a must-win situation, but if he doesn't, if we don't win this game, Nick's gonna hear it.
Well, you tell me. What do you want to happen? Do you want him to stay the coach and turn things around? Or do you feel that he can turn things around? Or?
I would like that. I have in the past, who was it? Oh, Domit Torrent, I thought, at some point I gave up on. And I was like, he is not. And he turned it around. He was, so, you know, I'm not saying it couldn't be done. This was pretty discouraging. Because, you know, we were on opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Before the the season. I was feeling optimistic about our signings, and I still think the squad is good. I think last year we definitely were missing people. This year the squad is good. So he's got no excuse. I mean, and it's not going to he's not going to have that much time. Like if he loses a couple more games, I think he's gone.
Yeah. Then so be it. And I guess an MLS, you afford that kind of time. I'm of the school of thought that he should not have survived the offseason.
Well, he's the only... I mean, that's what people were saying. He's the only... guy in the East who didn't make the playoffs and still has his job. I think there were these meetings and events where team presidents and David Lee were speaking to this. I think the general consensus was he didn't play with a full squad. Like, there were definitely people missing. And after and at the end of the season, the team was pretty good after they got the reinforcements. I mean, we missed the playoffs by a couple points. We were pretty close. We averaged 2 points a game for the last like 8-9 games. So there were some good signs, but right now it's looking bad.
Yeah. Well, good luck in your home opener in Portland. I'm sure you'll be there. It'll be a lot of fun. Hopefully the weather is good.
It will be, yeah. Weather's pretty good. Warm in New York. It was pretty warm today.
Nice.
Spring in the air.
Spring in the air.
But your team has 4 points and they're looking like contenders. So you got, not only do you have the Swedish superstar, you have the sleeper hit Swedish center back that everybody is talking about.
And to finish off the S situation, we also have the Scottish, reincarnate, maybe.
Lewis is back.
I'm trying to give a nice S alliteration. I want to call him the Scottish Bomber because he bombed a goal in over the weekend. It was so beautiful. He's the most excited player I'm all about. We're doing well. I'm very happy. I have very little to say. I have a couple things to say, but there's nothing negative on this side of the fence.
Very little to say. Come on now.
Yeah, it's soccer. Stefan the soccer guy. Stefan the soccer guy. Anywho, I'll keep it. Whatever. Anyway, New York Rebels looking good. We're playing tight. We're playing high press really well. The players are playing for their coach. They're playing for each other. And then over the we had the only thing of contention, you know, I had a couple unknowns. How is Emil Forsberg going to do? How is he going to play with Dante? And yeah, how are these new youngins, this Swedish and this Norwegian youngin we got? We haven't seen the Norwegian youngster yet, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he's had any significant minutes, if any at all. But yeah, the Swedish center backs had 2 games. He's benched Andres Reyes, who was our main center back last year, and he's done pretty well. Good for him. He's a solid dude. He's a solid dude. The one goal we let in over the weekend was due to a Daniel Edelman gaffe a little bit. Houston got us early. But then we spent the rest of the game. So we've had 2 games on the road. Week one was in Nashville. And we couldn't get the 3 points, although I felt we could have. But the whole game, we dominated. At least 75% of that game. Our ball, like, they were just running around trying to catch us on the counter at best. This second game in Houston, a lot of the same. It was our ball, our game. Houston got us in the counter early with that Daniel Edelman gap. But the rest of the game, all us. We won 2-1. We had the whole game to hold the ball, move the ball how we saw fit. And Elias Manuel got himself a goal, which is nice. Yeah. It's a typical Manuel fashion. It just slightly bounced over the line. It didn't hit the back of the net. It's almost like, I don't know if you saw it. Like, it bounced over the line. They had to kick it out.
They all count the same, though.
They all count the same. It was off the head. It was a great header, a great cross, great team movement of the ball in the attacking third, which is their main point of improvement early on here in the season, is really the attacking third. And then Lewis Morgan had to come on early. On the 33rd minute, he came on. And Lewis Morgan is suffering from a season-long injury. So, hip's no joke. So, I'm just like, oh, God, I hope, you know, he doesn't re-injure himself. But he played a solid 60 minutes, and he scored a rocket from a Houston turnover in the second half to give us a winner. And it's like, hell yeah. And they all hugged Lewis Morgan, especially J-Mai. And it was like, Lewis Morgan is back, maybe. You know, knock on wood, I'm hoping he gets healthier and just back to strength. I'm hoping this is the beginning of Lewis Morgan being back. Not an exception, not an isolated incident. So knock on wood.
I could watch him all day.
You might have to. depending on what CFC does. You might have to switch over. But and then Jamai played. He's been injured off season. He played and he was pretty tight. So our players are all playing healthy. Dante Van Zier did get an assist. What I'm waiting on is I'm waiting for Dante Van Zier to open up a little more. Emil Forsberg has been pretty solid. His free kicks
hit the crossbar twice, right?
Twice in both games hit the crossbar. His free kicks
are... One of those
is
going in.
They're going to go in soon. They're just half a step under Leo Messi quality free kicks. One of those dudes in the final third, if we get a free kick, Forsberg will be on it, and it'll be a good one. So, and you can tell he's playing with his heart. He's playing his butt off. And it's nice. It's like, yeah, this team is playing, man. I like it. In two MLS games, I have very few complaints. I hope it goes from strength to strength. I hope Elias Manuel starts a scoring form. But more importantly, I hope Dante Van Zier finds himself a scoring form. You know, when we bought him last year, he's 25. He was a leading scorer of the Belgian league on Union Zangwaraz, or however you say that club, which was a Euro League contender. Right after he left, they knocked out Dortmund or whatever, right?
In the Euro League.
The other Union. You know, he was... Like, he's the type of player that a Bundesliga, like a club like Stuttgart would sign. You know what I mean? He was like a top prospect-y, European quality level number 9. We signed him. He had a wacky year last year for different reasons. And I believe he has the quality. I want to see him open up. That is my next... That's like the last wish I have of the New York Rebels right now is Dante starts opening up.
Well, I heard you're going to sign somebody else.
Did you really? I've been a little out of the loop. Who are we signing?
No, I didn't get any names, but I read somewhere that supposedly another 9 is coming.
I would not be against that. I think the fans have been clamoring for a 9. In my mind, we got Forsberg, I guess, he's an 11, I guess. We got Elias Manuel, and then we got Dante Van Zier.
He's playing the 10. No, is Forsberg not playing just a pretty classic 10?
And Lewis Morgan, although he has the number 9 on his jersey, he's a winger. But as far, I mean, Dante Van Zier and Manuela are 9s, right? Or am I wrong?
I think so. Yeah, they have been. But I think you couldn't probably, you know, if they're going to...
We'll take a third.
If they're going to... I mean, you know, it's like you can't only hope to replace Tom Barlow.
Well,
If you get 75% of Tom Barlow's production, you're going to consider yourself fortunate.
This number 9 thing, I don't know. I can't see much on it. I don't know where you saw it, maybe on Twitter or something. But
my sources. Sources are so discreet that I don't even remember. They tell me things and then I forget who they are.
Good. I'll tell you, if I could be a little harsh here, I feel Elias Manuel has had more than enough time to prove that he's not a capable number 9.
But not that I need to stand up for your players, right. But he's had some injuries. No, he's been a little in and out.
Has he? Manuel? I have to remember. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. You might be mixing him up with one of the other guys. Dante Van Zier's had injuries. You know, Lewis Morgan was very injured. But right. Elias Manuel, when he plays, just one of those dudes where I think his positioning is good, but his final finishing step is just leaves to be desired.
Gotta
get it in there. And again, over the weekend, he headed in the goal. It's like, amen. But it's one of those things where it's like a more competent number 9 would have slammed it in there a little bit better. Maybe I'm being harsh.
Sometimes
but...
it's a... Oh, that reminds me. I forgot I was going to give a Kai Havertz shout out in the Deutschland Hour. But
he got a hat trick. He had an FA Cup hat trick, right? Or was it a Prem?
He's like, I really didn't see this working out for him in Arsenal, but he has doggedly been successful there on a very good team.
We need a player who's a warrior, who's not an embarrassment. If Kai Havertz, let's see, Kai Havertz had one goal in their game over Sheffield United, but didn't he?
He had an assist, at least one.
Maybe assisted a lot of them.
Listen, he's not like... it's not like he's going to win the Golden Boot or anything, but he's like consistently done good work for them, and he has scored on occasion.
We need it. Amen, brother. Keep it up. Keep up the good work, Sky Havertz. Yeah. But that's my New York Red Bulls thingy thing. As far as other MLS stuff, I'd love to talk about the LAFC Snow game, maybe the refs.
Oh, yeah.
What was the other thing? What are the two soap? Oh, the US Open Cup. A little more US Open Cup stuff. It's the other thing that no one on Apple TV is talking about, right? That's they definitely got a memo about that.
Can't be talked about.
They definitely got a memo about that. Yeah, a couple things with the US Open Cup thing. But let's lift it aside. First and foremost, Steve Trundle is complaining. LAFC went to Real Salt Lake. It was a snow bowl. They lost 3-0 in a wacky, snowy. I'm sure you saw
when
the highlights.
When they bring out the red ball, you know it's going to be a fun night.
Do you feel, I know how I feel, but let me ask how you feel. Do you feel Steve Trundle is right? They should not have played that game.
I mean, probably.
Probably they should have, or probably they should not have played that game.
I mean, the craziest game that I've been at was the Orlando game when NYCFC were playing in Orlando, and there was like torrential rain to the point where you could not advance the ball. They were like puddles on the field, and you couldn't. So this was better than that. I think this was better conditions. I think it's. I think it was great that it was played. I think this is sometimes part of the game, you know? It's early season. It's not like this is a final. So, yeah, they should do it. On the other hand, I can completely, if I was Steve Trundle, I would say the same thing. I was like, this is nonsense. I was laughing at pictures of French World Cup winner, French national goalkeeper Hugo Lloris just... looking around like, what is happening?
Welcome to Utah. Welcome
where
to Utah.
Where have I? Though. What is? Yeah. Nobody said anything about this.
I'm probably 90% there where I feel. It's like, yeah, it's an American winter. It's Utah. It's March.
I mean.
We've had a few of these. We had the Snow Classico. It's happened.
Yeah, there was the
Minnesota
Atlanta,
home opener.
Minnesota. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
However, two things. Firstly,
it was snowing pretty hard.
If this was MLS Cup final,
you wouldn't know.
Would you have done that?
No.
So it goes to tell you,
well,
like, what's
although,
the value
although,
of the game.
On the other hand, when you have MLS Cup final, you have these broadcast considerations. That's like a hard game to call off. So I don't know.
The very inaugural MLS Cup broadcast was a disaster. Talk about torrential downpour. I think it was one of the worst torrential downpours in league history, but... It had to be, like you said, it was on ESPN or whatever, it's done. So they played that sloppy-ass game. But it's hard to even find highlights. They don't want to show that game around again because of the rain. But my thing is this.
Those RSL goals looked pretty well taken. I mean, it looked like you could play.
Yeah, you know, and also I think it's part of the culture, maybe. That would be my pro column. It's like you go to Colorado, you go to Real Salt Lake in March or February, it's going to snow.
They've done this in Munich. They have had games like this.
Yeah, they did this a month ago in Munich. But in Munich, when it snowed hard, they did cancel that game that weekend. But it was more for travel consideration.
Right. It's often harder on the spectators spectators. Anyway.
How about this? Yeah. I was part of a snowed out MLS game crowd where I was there in New York and D.C. It was a playoff. And Don Garber was on the field, and MLS execs were shoveling snow. It was hilarious. I loved everything about it. I was one of 20 people at Rebel Arena that made it out. And then they canceled it on the day. They're like, we're not playing this. We'll play it again tomorrow. And all the DC fans were like, what? We have to go home now. And then Mike Petke said, we were ready to play and versus Ben Olson and all that crap. And then the next day we went, and then it happened again. My policy would be with this Rail Salt Lake game, I mean, if it snows all weekend, it's only going to get worse, right? However, if the weather report says it's going to snow and then it'll be clear tomorrow for you to clean the field and play, I don't see why the policy can't be they just postpone it a day until the field is clear tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like a one-day push-ahead policy.
Yeah. I mean...
I'm not a landskeeper or whatever they're called.
I think it's a groundskeeper. Yeah,
groundskeeper. Maybe it's even worse. Maybe because the field is so muddy. I don't know exactly what that means.
Yeah, but fresher snow is probably better. I don't know.
But they played it.
They should let them wear skis to play.
Hugo Lloris. Oh, this is something I've wanted to share for 2 weeks now. It's more the Germany Hour. Have you seen the new sport Germany invented? Football on ice.
You sent me a clip and my brain exploded. I couldn't even fully process it. It is so cool.
It is a sheet of ice that Germans, they wear American football. It's a football. And they're not on skates, I don't think. I think they're just on shoes. And they run out there and just play indoor football, but on a sheet of ice. It's very cool.
What could go wrong?
I don't know how serious it is or what, but I'm all about it. Okay, another topic I want to talk about.
Yes.
Emmanuel Reynoso, once again, is nowhere to be seen. The Minnesota, have you read about this or seen this?
I have not, no.
I don't know. Apple hasn't been talking about it a lot for some reason, I guess. Now, I don't know exactly the full story. He's injured. I don't know if he's in Minnesota, but he's definitely SOL. He wasn't there for preseason, even though he was scheduled to be there for preseason. He sent a text message. He wished his players the best of luck because he wasn't going to be there. Now, this is a club that also didn't have a head coach until a week into the season. But Emmanuel Reynoso, I don't know if he's just injured and off the side, or that's a story they're saying, or he's just flat out SOLing again at the beginning of the season like he did last year. I don't know.
I don't know.
However, he was just named the MLS All-Star squad, I believe. Or is that
MLS All-Star squad? What are you talking about?
Yeah, this is an old... Hold on. It's got to be an old article. Hold on.
We're not naming any All-Star squads yet. We're like 2 games in.
They did announce the All-Star game, though. Did you see that announcement?
No.
MLS All-Stars versus League MX All-Stars. Again, this summer. Which is fine. I don't know.
It's fine.
I could really care if it's one way or the other. They had Arsenal last year.
They should start doing East against West. There's so many teams...
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter. Who cares?
Who cares? I don't care about the All-Star game.
The only fun part of the All-Star weekend is the skills challenge.
It's good to not play European teams. I think that is just foolish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is. Anyway, and then I guess a little bit more news came out for the U.S. Open Cup. No one in the Northeast is going to be in the U.S. Open Cup.
Eight teams. MLS is going to send eight. This is depressing. It's depressing.
Well, I also brought this up on my TikTok.
Stefan the soccer guy.
Stefan the soccer guy. The treble is dead. A club can't win a treble anymore, right? Because the way it works is if you're in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, you can't be in the U.S. Open Cup. I think that's sort of what they've announced. It's one or the other for you to sort of ease the schedule.
Oh, so the treble would be Champions Cup, Open Cup?
And the league, right? Why not? Not that anyone's ever won that before.
I thought that isn't the treble Supporters Shield Open Cup?
What's a traditional treble? I mean, I guess it's a type of treble, but the real treble is Champions Cup, the league, and the cup.
Jose Mourinho once at Manchester United was trying to sell that the treble was Europa League, Community Shield, and Leagues Cup or something.
You lost me at Community Shield, okay? You lost me at Community Shield. But, you know, that's just another sad thing. Now, I will offer this. It is easy to blame Don Garber and the gang. However, again, I brought this up before. He is calling out U.S. Soccer.
Yeah.
Who dropped the ball. And U.S. Soccer should get... like the fan outrage is against Garber right now in MLS, which I understand because he made the news. But he is just pressuring U.S. Soccer to be better with the tournament. And as fans, we should recognize that. I mean, we need to... They had this... U.S. Soccer had this $50 million surplus since 2016. And all I've seen him do is spend them on lawsuits and crap. It's like, get a sponsor, make U.S. Open Cup a bigger deal.
Make it better.
Make it a TV event. And since the SUM relationship is broken
and
down.
And celebrate all the weird teams and weird places and that have traditions that are, small. But I completely agree. I think it's not on MLS to just... have everybody give everybody else exposure on their dime. I think that's the same. I think it's in a way the same discussion as the pro rel thing. It's like why should it be on you know, why should MLS have to pay for to elevate the lower leagues? Like, it's on them. And but at the same time, this is just a terrible, this is just a weird outcome. And hopefully they will fix this in future years.
Well, like you said, I do believe this is very much a direct response to the breakdown of the SUM relationship. Because U.S. Soccer and MLS had SUM essentially bonding the two of them. And then a couple years ago, SUM was dropped and U.S. Soccer did their rights in-house. And that's why U.S. Soccer games are on TNT now, for better or worse. And I think this is a byproduct. MLS was leaned on to sort of take care of this cup. And now that they don't owe U.S. Soccer any favors anymore, they're just like, we're losing money.
We're going to
make
our own.
Take care of it. It's like, you take care of it.
Yeah. Well, also their relationship with USL is not good. They used to, you know, they used to have the reserve teams.
They used to have a real partnership on paper.
They had a real partnership with USL, and that sort of ended badly. I guess Don Garber, the way Don Garber put it, is like they kicked us out, basically. I don't think that's how.
Really? From USL's perspective?
Yeah. No, Don Garber said USL kicked out the reserve teams. I don't know if USL would quite put it that way, but there seems to be some bad blood there. And so.
And therefore, MLS made MLS Next Pro, I guess, in response to
right? Yeah.
So
there's, you know, it's the usual messy, again, not Lionel, affair.
Sloppy.
That is the sloppiness that is U.S. soccer. But they need to, I mean, it's a great turn. And again, also like you said, it's like all these people are now outraged on Twitter about the U.S. Like, have they ever really been... You know, nobody has paid attention to this tournament. That's the other thing. It's like everybody who's upset is like, are you really watching it?
But that's on U.S. Soccer, right? Get a sponsor, put it on, make it part of TNT, right? If you want to buy U.S. men's and women's rights, you have to buy U.S. Open Cup rights, that kind of stuff. Back in the day, people used to do that with World Cup rights. Like ESPN couldn't get the World Cup without MLS rights, that kind of
stuff. There's lots of options.
Lots of options. And there was a great article from Henry Bushnell of Yahoo Sports this week about it.
Oh, yeah. I read that, too.
Great article. And pretty much he said U.S. soccer chose to be diplomatic. They bent. Like, they U.S. soccer people, Taylor Twelman, who was it? No. Someone, Stu Holden, stepped down from his position, and the U.S. Open Cup president was fired or something. And U.S. soccer, people on the U.S. soccer board muscled in a diplomatic response and tried to meet MLS halfway. That's what happened. As opposed to, which I mentioned earlier, the interesting part of this dynamic is who holds the power, MLS versus U.S. soccer. And MLS has clearly offered the fact that MLS holds the power. However, let's pretend U.S. soccer wanted to get their cojones out and pull a muscle. They probably could have called FIFA and told FIFA to pull the Club World Cup.
Wait. What? Get their cojones out and pull a muscle?
Oh, sorry. If they wanted to get their cojones out and try to maybe apply some muscle, muscle?
You said muscle.
So MLS and U.S. Soccer have been butting heads, right? And U.S. Soccer has made the choice to kind of bow down and let MLS to win.
Right.
Kind of. Now, I'm wondering, let's pretend I was... That's what I'm saying. Let's say pretend they took their cojones out. They're like, screw it. We have the FIFA rights here. You know, a FIFA, I guess, doesn't like to get involved, but let's pretend they could. Could they have called FIFA? Let's pretend I'm doing a Beispiel here, an example. They could have called FIFA, and FIFA could have called MLS and be like, if you're doing this, that's fine, but you wave bye-bye the 2025 Club World Cup. We're not hosting that with you anymore. And then you wave bye-bye the 2027 Women's World Cup. You know what I mean? FIFA's got some leverage here. Right? Or am I wrong?
So you think FIFA should light a pile of money on fire in order to save the U.S. Open Cup?
They wouldn't. But I think by bylaws, they're supposed to. Because U.S. soccer has this thing called the PLE, the Professional League Standard, that's sort of been the big...
You are familiar with how FIFA operates, though?
I am familiar with it. True. That's what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying. You're being practical. You're being practish. I'm being idealistic. I'm trying to think what's supposed to look like for U.S. soccer to actually put their foot down. It's supposed to look like that, right?
Well, I mean, your point is taken in that U.S. soccer could have put their foot down. I don't think FIFA would have helped them. But I think, well, I mean, I think it was also, yeah, no, for sure. I think, I mean, it's always tough. You don't want to, you know, like they're all in the same, they're in the end, they are in the same boat and nobody wants to sink it. So, this can't be the answer. That's my take. This A-team nonsense, like this is right. Not the answer. There's got to be.
It's lose-lose because
better.
Now
I mean, you know, obviously they were under time pressure. This had to be figured out for this season. But this cannot be the final. This can't be the final answer. There has to be. They have to do better. Everybody involved has to do better.
Yeah, like if now U.S. soccer, let's say they do need to make the U.S. Open Cup bigger. How are they going to do that now? The eight MLS the MLS clubs competing.
Well,
in the
hopefully,
cup are not
hopefully
allowed in.
You know, all the outraged Twitter jockeys that are all mad at Don Garber hopefully will put their money and time where their mouth is and make and bring these numbers up this year. There's going to be the U.S. Open Cup ratings are going to go through the roof, and then everything's going to improve.
It's just a lose-lose because then let's see who wins it this year. It's like, okay, we won. But eight very good, highly regarded MLS teams were not in the competition this year. So, what did I just win? You know what I mean?
It's terrible.
It's a lose-lose situation.
It's a terrible outcome.
Lose-lose situation. I guess the U.S. Open Cup can be regarded in like England had like when you do Football Manager and you're managing a really small club in England, they have like regional cups that you can win. You know, like a Burnley can win the Midlands Cup, where they beat, I don't know, I'm all over the place. I don't know what the Midlands clubs are. But you know what I mean? It's like it's not a national cup, but some sort of regional weirdo trophy that they win. It's like a trophy, and they get to celebrate it. That's essentially
it's
what
like
U.S. Open Cup has begun.
It's
it
like
is a
the
U.S.
The Hudson River Trophy.
Yeah, maybe half a step
Cascadia,
above. But,
the Cascadia Cup.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's a half a step above, but like it's sort of become that now. It's not a true national trophy.
This is not. It's not a good outcome. And yeah, do better, people.
Do better, people. Okay. Do you have any other MLS
US
soccer things? Yeah. Are you excited about Portland this weekend? Give me a prediction.
I love going to these games. You know that. I don't have a prediction. I don't know. I don't have a prediction. A tie. I'll predict a tie.
Will the thin field surface?
I think we're going to score. We're going to score our first goal of the season, but we're not going to. So it's going to be 2-2.
Okay, 2-2. I love it. Good luck. I will see you all next week. Have fun. Watch that MLS. Pay the refs.
Watch that MLS, people.
Pay the refs.
Bucket hats are coming to Etsy. Schnitzel Boys bucket hats. Not this week, but soon.
At some point when they will, we will announce it when they are there, but they will be there.
Yeah.
Tschüss.
Tschüss.
Bis nächste Woche.